Hey, everybody, this is Brett, and welcome back to the School Sucks Show. Today is May 15th, and what you're going to hear today, I really debated whether or not this should be put out as a podcast, but I decided that this show contains enough interesting discussion and valuable information that it could be included in our Autonomy Through Agorism series. I will warn you up front, it's different than the first two shows in this series. It is far looser, and there's some strong language. I should also mention, I think our audience is diverse enough that there's some content that might upset people. We talk about slaughtering pigs in this show, and it is with a returning guest. Many of you might remember a man from our Sestrescent Episodic Gala, that was episode 250B, who joined us to talk about permaculture. He is back again today to discuss what's going on his small farm in New Hampshire. So lots of good ground is covered, but like I said, a little less dense than the first two shows in this series, so you might have to be a little bit more patient waiting for it and a little more tolerant of inappropriate talking, okay? Now, I thought about some ways that I could add a little more value to this production, so I want to introduce a new feature called Mailbag, where I'm going to read messages from listeners regarding the permaculture discussions we've had on the show so far. A lot of suggestions are coming in, and I thought I'd share them with you, especially if you're new to this and interested, or even if this is something you've been working on for a while. Maybe I can provide some new information through the feedback I've received so far. So we begin with a message from a listener named Rachel. Hello, Brett. I've been a listener of School Sucks for 2 years now. I was just listening to the recent permaculture podcast you've been doing. I think it's awesome that you're starting your own garden. I definitely think the suggestions for double digging wicker pots and tire raised beds are awesome ideas, as these are some things I'm applying in my own garden / agorist farm this year. I recently came across the concept of straw bale gardening. With companion planting, you can do it so there's little input and a plentiful harvest. I decided to write you once finished listening to the podcast because I think the idea of straw bale, hassle and labor-free gardening might be appealing to you. Indeed, I agree. The concept is that you take straw or hay bales, parenthetically it says hay is apparently better for the plants, and you can get moldy hay cheaper because it can't be used for animal feed. The fungus is, however, desired in gardening, end parentheses. You essentially put them where you want them, and water with some organic fertilizer for a few days to get the natural compost action going. Then you part the hay or straw, add some compost, a plant that's ready to go outside, one that's been hardened, and a little soil. Water the whole bale in, and you're good to go. If done right, there will be little maintenance and high yield. The bales hold water, so there's less watering. There are people in the desert gardening this way because it's the only way they can, but it works everywhere. Over the season, the hay compost provide your veggies with food, and at the end of the year, just put the bales in a pile, and by next spring you'll have compost if you are around for another season. It's a great no-dig, low-effort way to get into gardening. As I mentioned, I'm starting a farm with another person using primarily permaculture techniques, especially hay bale, sheet-mulched raised beds, tire-raised beds, and the like. My plan is to make a living this season using these methods, and believe it or not, I am a pretty noobish gardener. My last year's garden was laughable, but with these methods, I should be able to feed myself and make a decent living. You don't have to put a bunch of work in to do this stuff. It's really easy. Hopefully this piqued your interest. I had to share. And she adds just some thank yous in general related to the podcast and its impact. I'll leave those out because it's personal. Thanks for doing what you've been doing. I hope this helps, and I hope your garden goes well, Rachel. Thanks again, Rachel. Thanks for sharing, and I hope people find that helpful. Next, a listener named James writes in, Brett, I wanted to pass on some information related to your most recent podcast. Jamin and Karen mentioned the container bucket method of growing, but there's also a fully hydroponic bucket method. Recently, I have been collecting the materials needed and setting up my first bucket. You can get the pump for around $10 at your local pet store, and most of the other materials at a home improvement store or a local plant shop. I chose the bubbler bucket system based on its simplicity and relaxed maintenance routine. I hope this helps. And he includes some links, so if you're interested in doing hydroponics, check the show notes. I will put those there. And this is just a quick one from a listener named Jonas. He says, Brett, just listen to your agorism two episodes. I have a ton of success using the methods in a book by John Javons, J-E-A-V-O-N-S, called On Biointensive Agriculture. Just Google the name and there is a ton of good info. So I wanted to add that in as well. And I also got a message from a listener named Eric. Eric says, hey, Brett, thought I'd throw a few tips your way for your gardening. Check out the following on YouTube or Wikipedia. First one, biochar, B-I-O-C-H-A-R. Add 3 to 5% by weight of soil. 1 cubic foot covers almost 50 square feet, which works in synergy with mycorrhizal fungi. The fungal powder is kind of expensive, but you don't need much, and it might be worth it if you're really wanting to boost root growth. As for fertilizer, consider making your own organic aerated compost tea in conjunction with vermipost, earthworm compost. It's easy and a great way to fertilize without chemicals. Just a few pieces of equipment like an air pump, air stones, large bucket or garbage can, paint strainer and compost bag, and pre-mixed tea powder. To keep the bubbles down, a teaspoon or so of olive oil or canola oil helps. Mix one part aerated compost, tea, to two parts water when it's ready. Also, he recommends grow bags, either plastic or fabric, and are a great option, especially if you are planning on moving or want to move your plant around. They're way better than typical hard plastic containers. I find all these have increased my yield and have been the best return on investment. He also recommends visiting Scribd and searching for teeming with microbes. Thanks, Eric. And we are going to do another installment of our permaculture mailbag. It will probably come at the beginning of the next show that I do with Jamin, which will, at least for the time being, be the last show on permaculture in the Autonomy Through Agorism series. But it's always a topic we could revisit later. There's plenty to discuss there. But after that show, I might like to take the series in some new directions. Agorism, a very vast topic for sure. So I guess I should just add a few final notes on what you're about to hear. A couple weeks ago, we did a little experiment to see what our live streaming endurance was like. We were going to try to broadcast for 6 hours. We made it about 5 hours, 45 minutes total. And we are doing this in preparation for possibly in the near future doing a fundraiser where we attempt to stay streaming live for a period of up to maybe 24 hours. And during that time, we would rotate in and out numerous co-hosts and guests. And we're still in the process of getting that organized. So a couple weeks ago, we just decided we wanted to see what 6 hours felt like. It's a long time, puts a strain on the voice. I want to thank the participants in this one. They included Kirk, who you've already heard in the podcast feed. Lauren, you can check out our discussion with her on the website. Carlos Morales of Truth Over Comfort podcast contributed quite a bit. And you'll hear his voice a couple of times in this show when I step off mic to do a little mixing. Osborne, who hung in the entire time. And the guests we had in this segment that you're going to hear, Brian or Baxter. Those are the two names that he goes by in his history on the School Sucks podcast. Like I said, he also appeared in episode 250B. So if you like what he has to say, you can hear more of him there. All right, folks, I hope you enjoy this. Again, final warning, strong language, talk of pig slaughtering, and graphic descriptions of chicken sex. Okay. All right, let's bring it back.
You better hide that belly button.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Hour 5.
Hour 5.
We've never
the power
said that.
Hour.
We've never said that before.
Hour
5 of the School Sucks Live Show, the Minithon. I'm Brett, and with me tonight, Osborne.
As always.
And now we're being joined by a returning guest who will introduce himself. I'm not sure how.
As a returning guest, Baxter.
Baxter, right. Now, I'll leave it to the other people, to the people listening, to do their own research. You were on the show before. We talked about permaculture.
Yes, we did.
But we're also friends in real life. You're not just, you know, a guest. So I wanted to hang out with you while I was in town. And this is a fine place. It's a little weird because there's people listening to us and it's being recorded. But,
just
you know,
a couple of buddies hanging out.
I wish we had the conversation from the other night recorded, because that was some fascinating shit.
That was fun.
Which one?
Chicken sex.
The one in my house where we talked about chicken sex and all that stuff.
Let's talk about chicken sex. You guys can, you know, what did you find, valuable or intriguing about that conversation?
I learned so many things. The first revelation was that chickens only have one hole where everything comes out.
I was disappointed by that. I would really like them to have more.
I thought they had two holes. And not only that, but the roosters don't have any man penis. They just have their own hole, and they rub their holes together.
They pretty much scissor.
Yeah, scissor. Chicken scissoring.
Yeah.
So I've had a bad attitude about chickens. Now, I understand they're an amazing animal, but I've just, you know, I look at a chicken and I say, what an idiot. You know, I mean, that's just my thought. So yeah. I was disappointed, but not surprised that, you know, everything that they do is coming out of the same hole. That's very chickenish to me.
Yeah.
Chicken-like. So moving into maybe a slightly more serious topic, you just recently added pigs to your operation.
Yes.
So I wanted to hear about how that was going.
Well, they just came last Saturday, I guess. Friday or Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
How old were they when
boys,
you got them?
2 months.
2 months.
They're about 50 pounds.
Really?
Only two?
Yeah, just two. I'm trying not to. I mean, I thought Mikey
right?
kind of lonely. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to.
Plus,
be lonely.
It's kind of fun to watch them fight. And,
gotta have a friend.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yesterday. Awesome. I just scored a supply of food. So a local restaurant / butcher shop / little grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going there for years, and it's a great place. It's exactly 4 miles from my house, and they are going to give me a 30-gallon trash can full of food waste every
day.
Wow.
Every day?
Every day.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's all, and he just wants a piece of the pig after it's processed.
How much of a piece of the pig?
I don't know.
I would specify.
We'll see. Nah. It's all good. I'm going to have way more than I can eat for a couple of years with these boys. So the thing is, I can bring him eggs now because I have plenty of eggs, but I'm not going to be able to bring him a pig until November, but he's cool. It's totally awesome. So now that they're taken care of, I mean, that's not enough. It's just, you know, it's lettuce and onions and bell peppers and the stuff that they prepare in the kitchen. It's not the stuff that comes back from the table with the cigarette butts in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that kind. So it's good, fresh stuff. But, you know, there's no meat and not a lot of protein. So it's all just kind of greens, lettuce and stuff. So I'll still have to feed them, some crack, corn. Or whatever else I have. I have another source where I might be able to get fish heads in an unlimited supply.
Wow.
But I'm not sure I want fish heads. I mean, the pigs will love them.
I like the way you said that. That was very intriguing. I might have another source where I can get fish heads in unlimited supply. Somebody want to put that in quotes, put a link to this stream and throw that up on Facebook?
Yeah. But yeah, they need protein, especially when they're small. They need a lot of protein so they can get up to that weight. So I'm expecting between 200 and 250 pounds a piece. Oh, and the same place, it's a butcher shop. And so I met a couple of brothers who are butchers. And these guys are like, you know, backwoods hunter types. And they've done, you know, hundreds or thousands or who knows, man, how many, you know, slaughtering. And one of the things that I was very concerned about was the processing come November, where, you know, these guys aren't going to be on trailers. And a friend of mine, Mark Edge, that kind of told me all this stuff because he started out with a couple of pigs and you get going from him. He said the biggest problem was when it became processing time, he had to get these, you know, 250 pound monsters onto a trailer that they've never been on before. And that took him quite a while. And then one of the problems with that is they're on this thing and then they go to the slaughterhouse. Even if it's a humane, you know, wonderful slaughterhouse, it's got to smell like blood to the pigs and death.
Yeah.
And so the pigs are, you know, they're all of a sudden they're taken away from home. They're going on this moving thing. They don't know what's going on. And all that adrenaline that they're producing is going to get into the blood. And then, you know, and their last thought, even no matter how humanely they do it, you're going to get meat that has all these, you know, chemicals in it. So I wanted to do the slaughtering at home. So there's two skills. There's slaughtering, which is one skill, and there's butchering, which is a completely different skill. Usually there's not the same guy that does these.
Oh.
Because one of them is, you know, putting a cap in the head of the animal. And then, you know, taking out all the guts, the brain, the head, the hooves, you know, getting all the skin, the, you know, all that stuff. And then the other one is, you know, working finely with a knife to, you know, slice the proper, you know, meat, get, you know, separate the bacon from the back fat, make sure you do it just right. You want enough fat on the bacon, but not too much fat on the bacon.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just different skills. So what I was thinking is have somebody out to help me with the slaughtering. And then take what's called the quarters is actually you cut the big in half, and then there's a front half and the butt half. And then take those down to a place where there's a, you know, cutting boards and freezers and stuff that you can do the finishing there. So I found these guys, and they'll do both for me. So they'll come out and slaughter, and then they'll leave all the offal, O-F-F-A-L, offal. It's all the stuff that's left over. Like, you know, all the guts and the heart and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they leave that for the chickens, and then they take the meat back, and they'll come back with freezer packages, and I'll leave some for my benefactor that's giving me veggies every day.
That's amazing that you're scoring that much free food.
Yeah, I'm very very happy with that.
Do you have any idea what you waste as far as what you grow? You know, like what just is. Like can't be used, or like what percentage of your yield would be wasted, or even if you kind of like project out and what you imagine your yield to be a couple of years from now.
Well, the goal is zero, and I think the reality is zero. I don't really know what waste means. I mean, when you have a permaculture farm, the goal is to have no inputs and no outputs.
Return the surplus.
Yeah, that's a controversial.
Because it's kind of like they see it as like communistic or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And I'm, it's actually, it's, let's see. I have to think it's three principles are kind of, they kind of rhyme. Earth care, people care, fair share.
Yeah. Like fair share is kind of a shitty.
Well,
so the idea like whatever you don't use can either be eaten by animals,
exactly,
or go into the ground, right?
Exactly.
So, I mean, there's no such thing as waste. Right?
Exactly.
Okay, so that's the point. What I learned recently is of all the food that is farmed, that is produced in the world for human consumption, for the specific purpose of human consumption, what percentage of it do you think winds up being consumed by humans?
I would be pulling it out of my vent.
That's a good vent jokes tonight.
20%.
50.
Probably. 50?
Right. So when we talk about, when people are talking about sustainability, the United Nations, UNESCO, all that stuff, yeah. Agenda 21, where there's not enough food, you know, to feed everybody.
Right.
It is entirely because of the systems that are delivering the food, whether they be, you know, industrial or political or even charitable.
It's a transportation issue.
Yeah.
Well, it's also a graft issue. You know, it's a government issue.
Yeah, definitely.
Warlords, you know, a lot of these things, when these organizations say, oh, we're sending food to the poor people of X, they're not, they're sending money. And of course that gets skimmed off by the people and that they get sent it to the governments, the warlords, the, you know, whatever. I did a project in my past life, my pre-farming life, for a company that does, it's a charity, I guess, that does, like save a child. You send $35 a month to them, and then they you sponsor a child, and then the kids got to write back, you know, once a year and send a picture of all this stuff. But the difference is that there's Save the Children, or what's Sally Struthers? What is she doing? Whichever one she does, they basically just send money, and all, you know, it's all just a scam. It goes away. Can I say that? Yeah. But this is a religious. It's tied to a church. In fact, it was really weird. It looked just like a regular gig. Everybody had their laptops out. You know, it was a regular office and stuff. But every meeting started with a prayer. It was bizarre, man. Anyway, it was like Thanksgiving dinner three times a day. But So they would not send any money at all to governments, to the state. They would have, in every country, they would have a series of other churches, and they would send either the money or the food directly to these churches, and the churches...
Yeah, because there's no corruption there.
Yeah, right. Well, they're local. They're, yeah, the closer you get it down to the people.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they have to pass this rigorous test, you know, are you a real church? You know, do you actually have people in need that need this food or this support? And they would send the stuff directly to them, so it would get rid of
is
a lot of
care?
The...
Is that
care? Compassion.
Compassion, okay.
Compassion International is the company, but it was a great gig. I really liked their the way they did things. Mm-hmm. How do we get on this? Oh, food. Yeah.
So food.
I mean,
yeah,
the,
and waste and
yeah. The biggest sin, if I can say that as an atheist, is for food to end up in a landfill.
Yeah, that's bad.
You know, just in a landfill where it doesn't provide any kind of, you know, a sanitary landfill where they get rid of all the, you know, the bugs, the stuff that breaks it down, and it's just ends up with this anaerobic crap down there.
Yeah,
because that's food that can be used to, you know, even if you're not going to eat it, even if it's not good enough for your pigs, there's nitrogen in there, there's potassium, there's calcium.
Well, we're talking about food waste, and the reason why I thought of that is because you were saying, you know, if you weren't getting these 30 pounds of food a day, it got to the place it got to for the purpose of human consumption. If you're not taking it, it goes in a landfill.
Well, okay. A lot of people would say, well, wasting food is leaving it, you know, on your plate, or, you know, yeah, if you throw it away, that's bad. But if you give it to the chickens or the pigs, is that wasting it?
No. Okay, I'm saying that's
not
wasting it.
You're talking about burning it or putting it in a landfill or putting it in your septic system or whatever.
Not returning the surplus.
Returning it to somebody who can use it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which, I mean, it does. It goes back into the... So, okay.
Right.
Another question. How are your chigs?
Yeah.
Pigs and chickens, are they interacting with each other? Are you using them together? Do you have plans to use them together?
No, well, not yet. I mean, when the boys came, their crack, their you know, feed that I'm getting them looks exactly like the chicken feed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm trying to wean the chickens off their winter feed because there's bugs out there now, but they really love their crack. I call it crack. I mean, it's just they you know, they'll, and it's good because I can get them to come home. I just shake the thing and they come running.
Yeah.
Anyway, I threw some down for the pigs, and the birds were just watching me carry this thing because it looks just like the other one. And as soon as I gave it to the pigs, they all kind of went in there for a second until the pigs said, nobody's eating this but me. And they kind of ran them off pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So they don't interact, but I've got an awesome plan for making compost out of this daily feed that I'm getting now. So maybe I'll tell you about that sometime.
Okay. Some other time?
You can't tell us now?
Or now.
Yeah, you can tell us now.
But it seems like you got a list of questions there, and I don't want to get off topic.
No, we want to know about compost.
No, I'm just generating the questions as the conversation goes on. It's a very loose format.
So we're just happy to
have compost.
There's this. I saw this awesome video from a permaculture dude. He's kind of the one carrying the torch of permaculture now. A guy named Jeff Lawton.
Mm-hmm.
He's New Zealand, I think, maybe Australia. I don't know. They all look the same. Anyway, he had this video that really inspired me. Because one of the things you need the most of on a permaculture farm is natural compost.
Mm-hmm.
And compost takes a while. It takes a while to break that stuff down because you're relying on bugs to get in there and start eating things and farting and creating heat that creates more bugs that fart. So it could take you a month or two to get a compost pile done, and then you use that and then you start another one, which could be another couple of months to get. So let me see if I can. Well, for your viewers at home, if you go to Jeff Lawton, GEOFF, you know, Goff, spelled the weird way,
mm-hmm.
Lawton, I think, .com, or just Google a chicken tractor on steroids. And a chicken tractor is a thing. It's a place to keep the chickens safe from predators while providing them a home and a place to nest and lay their eggs. So they got to be safe. They got to have a place to...
How's it different than... what we would call a chicken coop.
Because it can move, right?
It can move, yeah.
Oh,
I see.
So it's a moving chicken coop. I guess I could have just said that.
Right.
And with an open bottom. So a lot of times they're shaped like a triangle. They have to be light so you can move them. But the idea is, I mean, if you have a backyard, you have a couple of chickens, it's a great way to do it because you put them in there. They're not running out, you know, in your neighbor's yard or across the street. And they're not stinking up the place. You have a chicken coop, they're pooping in the same place all the time, and you got to get in there, clean it out. Plus, you have to bring food to them. So the nice thing about a chicken tractor.
Okay, so this is like what I've seen like in a Joel Salatin video where he's got these big wooden things and he moves them around periodically.
He has a big trailer with that'll fit hundreds or thousands of birds.
Okay, I haven't seen
That's one I've seen. Yeah, but these things sit on the ground. It probably has a whole bunch of different ones, yeah. Mm-hmm. But with its open bottom, so you put it on your lawn or on your weeds or, you know, whatever, and the chickens just go to town on that. And then tomorrow you move it 6 feet, and then they go to town on that. Mm. And then you move it 6 feet, so you just move up and down your lawn with this thing, and they've got a day to kind of, you know, take care of everything. And you move it. You just basically have to provide water. You know, you just have a hanging thing full of water, and they're happy as can be. But you can only do it with a couple of chickens. But usually what happens is the first couple of days, people move it, and they just leave it there for a few weeks, and then there's just nothing left.
What if you attached, like, some kind of wheels and robotic motor and just had it, like, slowly move constantly? So, like, makes the rounds over the entire yard over the course of a week.
It would run over the field. Like a a Roomba?
But it moves so slow that the chicken doesn't.
No, they would find some way to get their foot stuck.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, I guarantee it. Yeah, I sure you could do that. Yeah, why not? That'd be kind of fun. Yeah, a little robotic chicken tractor Roomba. I like that.
That's ambitious.
Yeah.
But it would be a good thing.
It's the opposite of ambitious, right? Because, like, you don't want to have to get out and move the thing every day.
Well, yeah, it's like a self-mowing lawnmower.
Yeah.
So, but that's really about fertilizing soil, right?
Fertilizing soil and feeding the birds, and they do an incredible amount of disruption to the soil too. They aerate it, and they just—it's amazing what those little claws will do.
Yeah, that was. Right?
They really get into that soil because they're looking for bugs. People think they're eating grass, but they really, really like the bugs.
So this is one of the things
worms,
that aired.
Yes.
Well, tiny, tiny bugs. You can't see them, but they can.
But
they eat worms.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. The worms are a real delicacy for them.
So this is one of the things that Salatin was talking about. He was saying that he runs the pigs through an area, right? And
yes.
they disrupt the ground, you know, and right. They will bring, just through their, you know, trampling, will bring all of those bugs and worms up by breaking up the soil a little bit.
Right.
We'll bring it up to the surface, and then the chicken tractors go through and get the bugs.
Right. Yeah. He's got a thing called a paddock shift system. Mm-hmm. So he's got a paddock, you know, a couple acres. So he'll first run the cows through there, and the cows will you know, leave a bunch of cow patties all over the place. And then he moves the cows to the next paddock, and they do the same thing there. He leaves the cow paddock there for a week. So he makes the change once a week. So leaves it there a week, and a week is long enough for the flies to get in there and really, you know, lay their eggs inside the cow shit. And then on the third week, then the chickens come into that same area, and then they eat all the bugs on the cow patties. I don't know where the pigs come in this scenario. This is when he was at Liberty Forum a couple of years ago, and he was talking about this particular system. But I guess the pigs would be just
the
same.
He's going to be the keynote speaker at Porkfest, too. Little known fact.
Awesome.
Oh, really?
Nice.
Wow. Cool.
Who all here is going to Porkfest?
You three.
Oh, yeah, wait. I got suckered into it somehow.
Okay.
Oh, you are going?
Yeah.
How'd you get suckered into it?
I don't know.
Why didn't you want to go?
I'm getting too old for this shit.
Getting too old? You're a 36-year-old man.
Yeah.
You think that's too old? Brian,
I'm underwear older than you.
Yeah.
Brian, you're over 50, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I'm 55.
Are you really?
Can't drive 55.
Wow.
Yeah.
You look much younger than that, I would say.
It's the...
I would say tanning, 51.
It's the tanning salon.
You go to a tanning salon. How's
this
that?
This morning, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
Vitamin D.
Vitamin D.
Yeah, vitamin D. It really helps during the winter.
Did they say... See, I've thought about doing that, and they said that it might not be sufficient for that. Do you think it is?
No.
You think it is?
No, it's not sufficient. I take vitamin D.
You can get by.
You can buy.
Yeah, I found this nice liquid vitamin D that I ordered liquid vitamins. Very excited about that.
Okay.
Is the kind they had on Shark Tank where you squirt it in your mouth and it's like different flavors and shit?
I don't know if you have to squirt it. I think you added that part.
Oh.
I think I can just drop it in.
You put it under your tongue or between your cheek and gum.
It's like they made it for kids to make it fun for them.
Yeah.
It's like comes in like a little weird syringe thing. You go... You squirt it in their face and they go, ooh.
They do. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. But speaking of liquids, yes. I have, as you can see.
Yeah, I want to see this experiment.
Camera's on me.
Here.
But I want to show people what I've been doing. I have a small ninja blender. Now, I'm going to be using this cup that it looks dirty, but it just has like some leftover cinnamon in it, which is actually going to add some flavor. I am a man who requires a lot of calories every day, and I haven't been able to eat solid food in some time. So I have been coming up with liquid meals, and I don't juice, okay? Juicing is where you put vegetables and fruit into some kind of machine.
You eat your fruit and you juice your vegetables.
Well, I don't juice vegetables. I blend vegetables. So when I get the liquid, it's very, very pulpy, like two or three times as pulpy as the pulpiest OJ you've ever had. Sometimes I add an apple. Sometimes I add some blueberries. But I'm blending.
No. Why not?
It's just because I'm usually doing it in the middle of the day, and I got to control the carbs that I'm having at that point. I usually eat carbs later at night.
And apple?
Bananas probably twice as many carbs as an apple. I would use half an apple, which is probably about 12 grams of carbs. Mm. So
you get those little tiny bananas.
Little tiny. Really?
Yeah, just toss one of those in.
Where do you get them?
The consistency that will do for your shake is unbelievable.
Or you could just use half a banana.
But then you have a gnarly banana half left over.
You do.
The chickens get it.
So
the pigs get the banana peel.
Since Brian is here, I'm going to be using two of his eggs. This actually is showing up really nice on the camera. So Brian was I mentioned this in a couple of conversations. Baxter. I'm sorry. I called you Baxter.
Oh, that's right.
Gave me 36 eggs, and I've gone through. You know. These are not, I want to make sure I use all these too, you know, because there's something went into them.
Give them back. I'll give them to the pigs.
No.
Actually, you know what chicken's favorite food is? Yep. No. No, they don't like the shells. They love the eggs. Oh, God.
Gross.
If they should accidentally break one, they'll trip over each other to get to the egg. It's just a good thing that they're so stupid that they don't know that thing that they just laid out of their butt is so delicious.
Yeah.
I'm just going to actually add some gain so you can hear me in the background. We're going to do two eggs.
Communicating. Yeah, so there's a farmer that I was talking to, and what he was doing is pounding down eggshells and feeding them to his chickens because it would harden the shell, apparently, of the actual chicken.
Yeah, there's some controversy on that because the calcium, obviously, the shell is very high in calcium. But if you just pound it down even into a flour consistency, which is hard, to do, is it available to the chicken's digestive system? I don't know because the calcium they get is in the bug parts and in the grass that they eat, and that's very available. It's liquid basically. Their body breaks down the various parts, and the calcium is a lot more accessible to their systems.
Fair enough.
So I actually tried that once. I burned out a blender. I threw all the eggshells in a blender. Oh, eggshells! Chickens make eggs, and they come with shells. Let's put those shells back in. And so it's very hard in a blender to turn those things back into flour.
Now, if you're doing this along with me at home, I want you to we're talking about permaculture, and I want to continue that theme by just getting the most out of everything that you're using. The spilled egg whites will give your table or desk a beautiful shine.
You don't have an egg white separator? I got one at the dollar store. It's awesome.
And if you don't have any access to egg whites and you have a piece of furniture that needs a nice shine, I would also recommend bacon grease. Works beautifully.
So what's that?
Our next ingredient is, we're just going to use a little bit coconut manna, which is also called coconut cream or coconut butter. And I don't know how this shit works, but it is like cookie dough, and it has no carbs in it. It has 1 gram net carbs. So I'm just going to, and it comes very solid, so if you're in a warmer climate, you'd be fine. But I'm just going to break it up a little bit. And this is really just for flavor, and it'll also give it a little thicker consistency.
So this is a bulletproof shake.
Yeah, and once I do that, I'm going to just add that, dump that right in. And I've been using this in bulletproof coffee in lieu of grass-fed butter. So
I put both in.
Usually for the coffee, we would add MCT oil, but we're not going to do that because it's late at night. It makes me a little jittery, I'll tell you. It's a lot of energy. The next is the Sweet Drops Stevia. I'm going to add that. I like to do a whole tube full.
Whoa.
That's fine. It's about two servings. It's about two servings.
That's a lot of stevia.
That's about two servings.
That's a concentrated shit there.
Now, to get...
God.
No, no, no. That's two servings. Like, five drops is a serving.
So but you put in, like, 50.
No, yeah, I put in, like, 10. All right, so...
That's
so,
not 10. That's a half of a eyedropper.
Now, here's the magic ingredient. Almond butter. Mm. Okay? So we're going to add a serving of almond butter as well.
This I made almond butter in my juicer last week.
Did you really?
Yeah, you just put it in and almond butter comes really out. Conic. How many carbs? Yeah. It's all fat. It's all oils, right? Yeah, cool.
Now, try that. This is delivering about 20 grams of protein, roughly, and about 40 grams of fat. So this is a good shake. So then we take this
Give it a good shake.
We're just going to blend it.
And you had cinnamon in there from something else?
Yeah, from coffee earlier.
Okay. And if you didn't have that...
God damn it.
There, would you add it?
Wait, yeah. Hold up.
Don't plug it in.
I see a green light.
I hope it's not the ninja that's broken.
Looks like you're going to be shaking from now on.
Well, I can't eat it if it doesn't shake, which really sucks because...
Why don't you plug it directly?
Maybe run it into Carlos's kitchen. And
there you go.
I was skeptical about whether or not a blender should be turned on the same circuit as all this computer
equipment. Yeah. It does take a lot of time. The middle of a show.
All right, I'll be back with the... can you guys hold things down here?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, sure. Did you put one egg in there?
Two,
but not the whole egg? How'd you end up with the egg white on the table?
It spilled.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't a separating process.
So what does your separator look like? I normally just use the shells and do the back.
Yeah, well, that's old school. I mean, yeah. this is new technology we're talking about here.
Oh, okay.
It's this, it's a round thing, 3 inches across maybe. Mm-hmm. And then it's got two concentric grooves. It's got like a cup in the middle and then these two grooves outside of it. And then there's a little spill space. So you crack the egg in there and the yolk goes into the center part. And the white just, comes out of these grooves. It takes a second.
Do you have to use it often? Do you do a lot of egg white separating?
You only use it once per egg.
Well, yeah, I imagine that. Yeah, I do the...
No, I never. Why would you ever separate eggs? I mean,
I do the old disgusting thing where I just do it in my hands.
Yeah. Oh, your hands.
Then, yeah.
I do the
quick hand thing.
Oh, it's so nice because you
like making
it.
So that with the ninja worked out?
Yeah.
Looks like Brett has a delicious shake right now. Can enjoy it. Take a sip.
Hmm.
He's not making a gross face.
It would be better if it was a little cool.
And Brett is taking
over.
You
could add an ice cube to that, right? If you want to. But you could. It wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like it's going to water it down that much. How about some scotch? You want to put some scotch in there?
No, thank you.
So still plenty of time for your calls. 843 join SSP. You got questions for our guest about permaculture? You have questions for me about my shake? You know? Go ahead and give us a call. Anything going on in the chat?
It's okay that there's silence.
Yeah,
this is
right.
Hour five.
So getting back to this chicken tractor, if you want to hear the rest of that,
mm-hmm.
it's still theoretical, but we've already built the trailer. So I had this old pop-up camper trailer, the little thing you tow behind a car and kind of pop it up. It looks like a tent. Took all the tent shit out And so they're in there now, and it's all sealed up against predators. Because I just lost a half a dozen chickens a couple weeks ago to something. I don't like to do that. So now they're all kind of trapped up just at night. Anyway, so you have this thing, and then there's a ramp in the back of it because they like a ramp. I mean, they can fly in if they want, but the ramp just invites them to walk up, so they don't always have to fly.
When they're in the tractor, they're not walking on the ground.
That's correct. So it's not...
I thought that was the concept.
It's not really a chicken tractor.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's just a place to keep them safe at night.
Okay.
Salatin has this chicken
house.
Well, yeah. It's a place where they can always have water. They have their nesting boxes where they, lay their eggs. And then they have I call it bleachers. It's just a bunch of poles that are kind of at a 45-degree angle where they sleep.
So do you let them in at night and then close the door on them?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it all has chicken wire around it, so nobody can get out, nobody can get in.
Mm.
And they lay on the inside of the boxes, but the back of the boxes has a little hinged compartment that I opened up from the outside, and I can collect all their eggs.
Mm.
So the idea is we've got this, picture a little pop-up camper with the pop-up popped up about 3 feet, and then chicken netting around it, and then some, facilities inside. So, I mean, it's still a trailer. It has two wheels and a hitch and everything. So, and then this ramp that goes down the back. So the idea is that you get up, you get like a 4 feet of four foot sections of chicken wire, like a fencing. And you make this 4 foot square fence, maybe 3 feet high. Okay. So picture that, just sitting behind the trailer. And then you pour all of your slop in there. You pour all the stuff that I was talking about, the lettuce and the onions, all the waste that happens before the food is served. Okay. So kitchen waste from a big restaurant. You pour that in there and then you let the birds out. And the first thing they do is they jump in there because they're looking for some good sweets, and there's lots of good stuff in there. So they chop around on it and they shit on it, and you know, they spend their day on that. And then you do that for a week. So they go inside at night, and then they come out during the day and then work on this pile. And then they go up there and they lay their eggs whenever they need to. A chicken lays an egg about every 25 hours. So you get about an egg a day out of each hen. So they go up there and they sleep up there and they work there. So in a week then, you take your trailer and you move it forward 8 feet. And then you take
this... That's it, huh?
Yeah. And then you take this chain, this fence thing that now has a bunch of old, you know, rotting lettuce and other produce. Mm. You take that and you move it up 8 feet on just, you know, virgin ground. And then you do the same thing again. So you put the food in there, and so they can get fresh food now. Or they can get this older pile that's a week old where the bugs are starting to get in there. Mm. And so they get the protein from the bugs. Plus then they get all the carbs from the and other, you know, stuff from the lettuce. You do that for a week and then you move forward 8 feet, you repeat it again. So now the third week, they've got this nice fresh stuff that's coming from the, you know, from the restaurant every day. They've got stuff that's a week old, you know, behind it that is starting to get bugs. And then they got the stuff that's 2 weeks old that is having even more bugs. There might be earthworms coming up through it, and it's really turning into compost. And so now the birds have whatever they wanted. They have this, like, this smorgasbord of wonderfulness. And then by the fourth week, you move it again 8 feet. The first pile that's now 4 weeks old is this most wonderful, sweet, lovely, awesome compost. And so you take that, put on your flowers, and then every week you're going to get a brand new, fresh, awesome pile of compost throughout the entire growing season. So look up chicken tractor on steroids. Like I said, it's not really a chicken tractor. And the video is just so wonderful, so warm and lovely, and you can just see how this stuff. So now the food is free. You know, I'm reusing waste from a restaurant, so I don't have to buy food for the chickens. I get eggs for free, and I get compost for free. I mean, there's no cost involved in any of this.
So I'm trying to think of ways to make chicken keeping possible for me. So you're describing your tractor, and you'd let the chickens in at night and close the door.
Right.
What if you had the chickens RFID tagged, and you had a door that would open
when they got close,
when the chicken got to the door?
Sure.
That way, no, you know, foxes or badgers could get inside, but the chickens could come and go as they pleased.
Sure, why not?
You'd never have to interact with them. I'm also envisioning like a system.
But interacting with them is most of the fun.
Where they lay their eggs, if they lay their eggs on some kind of trap door,
yeah,
where you just push a button and the eggs come out outside the building.
Well, if you've got an RFID, you should have an automatic thing. It should detect an egg there. And
oh, yeah. Have it even better.
Yeah. Well, but it's natural.
Sure.
Oh, the industrial farming. If you knew how the 99-cent a dozen eggs at your grocery store are made, it's just so horrible.
Well, tell us a little bit about it. I mean, we talked about it briefly, but the last time you were on, we had a lot to cover. Like, we covered pretty much everything.
Wow. So we're covering it again?
No, we didn't get into detail about this because I bought eggs at the supermarket, but they're not just the regular eggs. You're looking at me like,
omega-3.
I
mean, what,
shit.
It's all there. It's like honey. I mean, you never ever buy honey from the grocery store.
No, I try to buy like the most all natural ones that are available. I've started buying them at the co-op.
All natural. Everything is all natural. I mean,
No. I mean, I know what I'm looking for when I see it, but
what are you looking for?
Pastured.
Okay. If you can trust it.
Well, so would you say never buy eggs at the grocery?
No, you can't. You just have to know where it comes from.
Yeah.
Don't trust the labeling. Don't trust the, know what it is. You can talk to the manager sometimes. Yeah,
you go over to A-Market, they sell a couple different kind of eggs there. You can talk to them about where they come from.
Where they come from, right, yeah.
And you
want to know where your food comes from.
No, I asked because I was making a beef stock recently. I said, tell me about these bones. I said to the 17-year-old at the meat counter. And he knew. But that was great. He knew where they came from.
Okay.
And he said it's not all grass-fed. He said it's grain-finished. Yeah. So he had good information, but...
I don't mind grain-finished, by the way. I would prefer grass-fed and grain-finished to grass-fed and nothing else. The finishing, and I might sound like a heretic to the... To the people who really like the grass-fed stuff.
I can respect that. Yeah.
I've had grain finished. I used to live next to a rancher that had 20,000 acres in Colorado, and he did that same thing. You know, they were out on the range, he was 20,000 acres for their entire life, and I said, oh, yeah, that's my steer right there, Randy. And the last, I don't know, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, he'd have it in the stall just feeding it the corn that he grew. I mean, it wasn't like GMO corn or anything, and it was so much better than this hoity-toity stuff that I've bought that's just all grass-fed from Montana, and, they sell it. It's very expensive, and it's just dry and not very tasty.
I like the Australia Gold. I'm happy with that. It's cheap. It's within my budget.
Don't they have a Market Basket?
Yep.
I've had it.
It comes from Australia?
Yep. $5 a pound for ground beef.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's on sale, too.
Wow.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Well, the steaks are more. I mean, the steaks are can be like 13, but... Yeah, so I was eating a lot of that. Now, would you eat four eggs? Do you eat four eggs a day?
No.
Would you?
I have.
Do you think it's okay?
Sure.
Okay.
No, not every day. I mean, you shouldn't do anything to excess. I mean, that's a lot of eggs in a day.
Okay.
But if it's all you have to eat, I mean, it is the perfect food.
The reason why I ask is I had kind of a negative attitude towards eggs. Sometimes I get very excited. Like, I like hard-boiled eggs. I'd like to make four or five hard-boiled eggs. I used to eat a lot. I mean, I used to shoot for like 3,500 calories a day. So,
crap.
Yeah. Well, when I was working out more seriously.
Yeah, okay.
And then I'd make bacon. And this was a pretty standard paleo meal, too, because it was easy and cheap. So I'd get bacon.
Usually only pigs can make bacon.
I would cook bacon.
Oh, okay.
I would cook bacon. You're right. I'm glad you're here. Because if you weren't here, I would have gotten away with that.
Yeah.
So I'd make bacon and cook
bacon and bags.
Bacon and keg. Welcome to hour six, by the way, everyone. Welcome to hour six of the show. But I get so bored with eggs. I get so tired of eating eggs.
There's a million ways to make eggs, though.
Yeah, but I can't deal with... So I've really had to confront my problem with liquid foods recently. Do you remember the video, Food is Not a Liquid? It was me, you, and Corey. We were talking about putting things in Bloody Marys. And olives and gin that had cheese in them.
Yeah.
The problem with this
is... food in my drink.
Yeah. Right. There's a very clear line between foods and liquids. But I've been on this all-liquid diet.
You're blurring the lines.
Yeah. I've got plenty of energy. I'm not losing weight anymore. I was losing weight very rapidly when I first started doing this. Working out. We had a great workout today. Like, really, doing pull-ups and just had plenty of energy. Felt great. But
I worked on my sewer, so same thing.
Yeah. Oh, well, that I would like more work like that. I would like more physical using my body in new and exciting ways, but not, nothing.
Come on over.
Yeah. Nothing.
We'll work on that this weekend at my house.
Whoa.
You got a project?
No. He's threatening me.
Innuendo, sir.
So these raw, which I never would have thought about eating raw eggs, right? Because I wouldn't eat eggs with runny yolks. That's when I see people doing that, I just want to slap their food off the table.
Oh, yeah. Because
get it together.
You're mixing liquids with your food.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I think it's disgusting. I think it's the most disgusting thing to eat somewhat cooked egg yolk with. Just to be putting that in your mouth.
I put that on my pancakes.
Yeah, you got to have something. Yeah, to soak it up. Like you don't want to have to eat it with a spoon, but you want it soaking into your bread or back.
Not for me.
Bacon.
Not my style.
Yeah, but it doesn't soak into bacon. And bacon already has all that fat.
Yeah, you can use
it,
bacon to kind of scoop it up like a dust mop.
Yeah. All right. So I'm tired of eggs anyway, right?
Okay.
But now with these raw eggs. Right in now, there's problems with raw eggs too. I think you're not getting as much of the protein. I don't think.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just now learning about that because of the way the pigs handle raw eggs.
Yeah, well, it's a question. So there's this company called Egg Whites International, and they claim it's just whites, right? No, celebrities love this, right? Yeah. So their nutritionists are telling them to do it. But I want the yolks.
Do they have any Asians working there, or is it all just whites?
Whoa, this is getting racy. See, I made a joke too. But I made a joke too.
Yeah.
I said this is getting racy. Folks. Folks?
Yeah.
You out there?
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, that probably cost us the rest of our listeners. Hold on. No, there's still some people hanging in. All right. Where was it? Egg Whites International, yeah. Right? So they claim that their egg whites have 100% bioavailability. To the point,
nothing is 100% bioavailable.
That's what
otherwise
I said.
You'd never piss. Water is 100% bioavailable. I mean,
as far as maybe it's just as far as the protein is concerned.
Okay, maybe.
So they would say for every tablespoon you'd get 8 grams of protein, which doesn't sound right to me. Maybe it was a cup.
Mm. When you put the egg in your little magic blender there,
yeah,
you don't even taste the egg. I mean, it's
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now I can make egg shakes, 2 eggs.
Mm.
Because I don't want to do 4 eggs a day, but I need the protein.
Yeah, so you get all that awesome protein, and you don't have to worry about the runniness of them. And
no, and
as long as you don't get your eggs from the 99-cent rack at the supermarket.
I do not.
Where they're filled with salmonella and all the kinds of shit, you got to cook the crap out of them.
So even if you just put eggs in there with some stevia and some cinnamon and some kind of liquid, it wouldn't be water, but I'd use like almond milk maybe, or coconut milk or something. Yeah, you make a shake and you can't taste them. Now, I'm planning on adding protein to it, but I can't find a good protein powder that I trust. It's been very, very difficult.
Mm.
There's something called paleo protein, but even that, it's got like all kinds of crap in it.
Mm.
So I'm thinking I want a protein that is casein, so from meat and egg versus whey. You want to stay away from whey. I want to stay away from it. I'm not recommending.
You want to stay away?
I want to stay away from whey.
Why?
I'm trying to just have no dairy.
Oh, okay.
You know, dairy is very inflammatory.
So was that statement I made about Asians earlier.
6 hours. How about that? This is the longest show we've ever done without. This is the longest continuous stream ever in the history of School Sucks.
Are you sure it's still streaming?
Yeah.
Does anyone have anything interesting to say in the chat?
The crowd has been very quiet tonight and, yeah, you know, I think we would have to do this more regularly to have participation.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm fading here.
Well, you should be.
So, I've got to bring all this stuff out of here, too, which is going to be an enormous pain in the ass. So, closing thoughts, anything?
I don't know about 20 hours, dude.
Yeah.
But you can rotate in and out.
That's
true. We made it it's 5.5 hours right now. But this could be our second podcast of the night.
A lot of editing.
No, just a little bit. I'll say to people, I'll say, hey, look, this was hour 5 and 6 of a marathon show.
We had fresh talent, but, you know, also had the hour 5 and 6 people.
That's amazing.
Okay, everyone, final note. If you have any comments or questions for Jamin or Karen or Brian, please submit them in the comment section for any of the shows we've done so far. And I will include them in a future installment of this series. Thanks to everyone for their participation so far. I already have quite a bit more feedback to add to the next show. And have a great weekend. Also, if you haven't done so yet, please join our group on Facebook. It's the School Sucks Project. You can also follow us on Twitter, username School Sucks Show. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, username School Sucks Podcast. And if you haven't done so, please check out our website and consider making an account there, schoolsucksproject.com. All right, take care.